The sermon you are about to hear is incomplete and of low audio quality. Every attempt has been made to locate a higher quality recording. However, this is the most complete message we can offer. We hope that the message you are about to hear will be a blessing to you.
Standing up on this box this afternoon, I think it'd be like the time Mama used to put me on a box to wash the dishes. Well, I hope we hear the same thing this afternoon. So the Lord bless. A few announcements. An announcement I had to make in Houston the other day. I was give a little paper here that said that please announce that Brother Vance Hoop. Vance Hoop and W.E. Kitson will be in Phoenix, Arizona, February the 27th and March the 5th. Keep that in mind. And now, I think tomorrow night that Brother Oral Roberts is to speak here in perhaps this same auditorium as a banquet. And Brother Oral is certainly a masterpiece of God's in the pulpit. Wonderful man of God, man of faith. I'm sure it'll do you good to come out here, Brother Robert, tomorrow night. And then the breakfast in the morning and so forth, as many as already I've seen sitting behind the curtain have got their tickets and so forth. That's fine. So we're always glad to be in any condition. I know you have something coming off in a few minutes, or just immediately after you get through speaking, sometime a meeting. I'll cut my words as short as possible. One thing being a little hoarse, next thing you squeeze your time in, you've already been for over 2 hours. I know you're tired. Now, tomorrow, or next Sunday, the Lord willing, next Sunday evening, February the 6th, next Sunday evening, at the Assemblies of God in Tucson, we'll be praying for the state. Next Sunday evening, beginning at 7:30 at Tucson, Arizona. And then we travel tomorrow to the west coast to the, down to Los Angeles, Long Beach, I believe it is, and then up around Bakersfield for the next service and going on evening. I hope that it's God's will that I can be in here at the same time this man are there. And also, Jerusalem. I'd like to go to Jerusalem once and see the land where our Lord has been. I want to greet so many of my fine friends in this family. See Brother Baxton, Brother Rose, and so many around here. Take quite a time to call their names. Standing there a few moments ago to see little Brother Smith must throw his arms around him. What a wonderful time of fellowship. Now, as he read the scriptures, I'd like to take for a text, if you call that, out of the third verse of the second chapter of Deuteronomy. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. I'd like to speak on the subject of turning northward. It would be hard for Israel to think that the promised land was 40 years away when they were standing on the other side of the Red Sea, dancing, shouting, rejoicing, when they were only nearly just a few days from it. It is for just a very short time, I think, with an automobile, you can probably drive an hour and a half, from walking, maybe 2 days, 3 or 4, something like that, easy, you can go on to the promised land. And they were thinking that they were almost there. And they were having a great jubilee of shouting and praising God and seeing what God had did for them. And how it's been hard to make them believe that they were 40 years away from that promise, the full promise of God that is promised. Grace had provided them a great thing. Grace had provided them a Passover lamb. Grace has provided them a prophet. And grace has provided them an angel. The Passover lamb was for their sin. Their prophet was their instructor. The angel was their guide. Grace had provided everything for them. But in spite of all of that, they wanted a law. And this grace had provided them an escape out of Egypt before they had any law. That grace had provided them one of the greatest revivals that they'd ever had. In this revival, they had seen great powers of God. In this revival, they had seen sunshine while the rest of the world was in darkness. In this revival, they had seen the mighty hand of God deliver the innocent people, bringing them from bondage into liberty. And in this revival, after they crossed over the Red Sea, they found all their enemies dead in the Red Sea behind them. Why would they want to add anything to that? They stand just about like our Pentecostal fathers did about 40 years ago or so. After we had seen the same thing that they had seen, one of the mightiest revivals that the church ever had, being divine healing, the people brought out of bondage, being bound by fetters of denominations and so forth, been brought out into a freedom. Grace had provided them everything they had need of. An angel of God to lead them. Prophet. Great man. I heard them say the other day that Azusa Street meeting, when they had it over here in California, that they thought it was a disgrace when they ever introduced songbooks to the church. They sang in the Spirit. Just as the Spirit gave them utterance, they sang. They danced in the Spirit. They had a great time, and it accepted the Word of God as sanctification to separate them from their sins, and they know they'd pass from death unto life. What a revival they were having of some 40 years ago. But as Israel did, so did our fathers. Make a fatal mistake. One thing that's held them in the wilderness another 40 years. You find out that instead of being satisfied with what they had and what God had done for them, and seeing the works of His hand, the fruit of grace, providing everything they had need of, even to so much as they didn't have to have a songbook. I wish I could have seen that in them days. But Israel, after all those things, Israel in the natural, this is Israel in the spiritual. Just as God was taking His people to a promised land in the natural, He's taking His church to a promised land in the spiritual. And they was on their road, having a great time, but yet they, after grace had provided everything that they had need of, yet they wanted something to do themselves. Something they could show God they had something to do into it. And that's what the church, when it gets in that condition, is always when they lose out. As when you try, or I try, or any man tries, to put his hand on the Word of God, to add something to it or take something away from it. We must leave it just the way that God provides it for us. Just let the revival move on as the Spirit moves on. These people are only 8 or 10 days away from the full promise of God if they would have followed the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
These people in this day, our fathers, were just a few days away from the fullness of God's promise if they just went ahead and followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we had to do something like David. The most fatal mistake that Israel ever made was Exodus 19. After grace had provided them all these things and had given them a revival, they still required a law. So they could have schools, theological, trained ministers, and, well, just be like the rest of people. Something they could fuss about. Something they could separate one another. Break up a fellowship or brotherhood. We believe this and we believe that. If they just let it go on the way God had it going, it would have been all right. But we always try to put our ideas in it.
Yeah.
That when we inject our ideas in
And we inject our theology into God's Spirit and take God's Spirit away. That's the way it was in that day. They were on the road, but they wanted something they could do themselves. Through their fussing and through their hang on, they found out then that they drove the Spirit of God away from them. It was a great mistake. It was a great mistake. When we did the same thing, our fathers, when the Holy Spirit first fell in the Azusa Street and many of the parts of the world, if we would just let it go on, leading on the Spirit, keep the world out, go on and let the Holy Spirit lead, we'd have done it in the promised land. But we've been 40-something years away from it, just as they did. So have we. Something came into the church, another issue, and we wanted to denominate ourselves instead of just going ahead loving the brethren going on. Well, why not leave it alone? Every plant that my heavenly Father has in plant will be rooted up anyhow. So what good does it do us to draw some of denominational barriers to keep the other fellow out? We always mess up something. I heard a little story going something like this, that maybe it is appropriate to say in a pulpit over a Spirit-filled bunch of people as I have the privilege of speaking to. But said two monkeys were sitting in the tree, looking at each other. And they looked down and seen the poor human beings. And they said, aren't they visible? And they say that they came from us. That's mistaken. No one I ever fenced up my coconut tree to keep my brother monkey from not eating the same coconut as I eat. That's human beings. The church has always been that way. One time, when Israel wanted to act like the rest of the nation, they wanted a king. They wanted Samuel to give them a king. Well, Samuel told them that this won't work. God is your king.
Yes.
Just let God be your king.
Yes,
but they wanted the king because they wanted to act like the rest of the nation. They wanted to act like the Philistines and the rest of the nation. Pattern act in the world instead of letting God be their king.
Hallelujah.
Samuel told him.
Thank you, Jesus.
God said to Samuel, Samuel, your faithful old prophet, called Israel up and said, have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord? Or what comes to that? Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that did not come to pass? Have I ever begged you for your money or taken anything away from you? No, you have not begged our money, said Israel. Neither have you told us anything in the name of the Lord that did not come to pass, but still, we want a king anyhow. See, man wants to do something himself. He wants to show his authority. He wants to show how big he is or how much different he can be from somebody else, from the rest of the people. That's when God goes out of the picture. Just exactly. Now, as Israel was, always has been, just as it was then, there was a mixed multitude. Some of them wanted one thing, some wanted another. That's the way we get it today, and usually the one on the other side is the one that we are doing. It's the same way with the Nicene Council, when our churches are set up. One wanted one thing and one another. The little Pentecostal group is pushed on the outside. The organization takes it over. And the teams of the Nicolaitans became a doctrine at the Nicene Council. They formed their own things, put up their own man, taking all the Nicol, as I said the other day, means conqueror. Nicolaitan means to conquer the lady and put all the holiness in the man. Do as you want to and pay the money into the church and let the man do the forgiveness of sins and let him be your friend and so forth. That's not God's will. God's will is just not enough to lay it to everybody. You're an individual. God dealt with Israel as a nation. You and I, as individuals, we try to answer before God for our sins. And we see that mixed multitude. Well, this is two sons of Isaac and Rebekah represent the world over. Every time there's a revival, there's twins born. Every time we have a revival, twins are born. Esau and Jacob are twins.
Yes.
One of them was a man after the world. The other was spiritual. Now, Esau, just as good a man as Jacob was, if you looked at him, he liked to take care of his old blind father, which was a prophet. He was a good boy. Morally, I guess, all right. But, and he helped work, and perhaps Jacob was just a little mama's boy. Hung around the mama, and just we call a little sister. And so, It's always love. A man of the world, natural, never cared us about the birthright. But to Jacob, it didn't make any difference how he got it. There was only one thing he had in his mind, that was the birthright.
Yeah.
No matter what anything else or how he got it, that's the way it is with the spiritual-born churches. When the Catholic Church had a revival, when Luther had a revival, when Wesley had a revival, Knox, Calvin, all down through the ages, it's produced twins. And when Pentecost had a revival, it produced twins. When Moses had a revival down in Egypt, it produced twins. A mixed multitude. One to the world, that wants to act like the world, be like the world, and pattern their message with the world. The others don't care about what the world says, how classic it looks, or how unclassic it looks. They got one thing in common, that's hold on to the birthright.
Yeah.
Keep a hold of God.
Hallelujah.
Just the way it's always been. That's the way it is just today, my friend.
Yeah.
Hold on to the birthright. Jacob, he said, make them difference how much they call him a sissy, how much, how he got it. Just so we need God. That's the way it is today. Makes no difference. The people who are spiritual. Now, many times the churches are compromising. They get so, you just shake hands with the preacher. As David D. Quincy well preached it not long ago, that God don't have any grandchildren. That is true. Our Pentecostal churches are bringing in their young ones, place them up on the seat, and put them members of the church. They never come through the process of being born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and upon their own. We didn't take them into the church. What have we got? A bunch of flat top haircuts, wicked, running around on the street yard just like the rest of the world. Women with bobbed hair, wearing makeup, and everything else.
Amen. They're
trying to paralyze the world.
Yes.
They're still going back to the spiritual thing. We have our great booms and our great big churches and trying to be bigger than the other fellow and snowing the other fellow over and working for our organization's denomination. What have we got? We're hatching out a bunch of high-bred people instead of born-again children of God. That's right. High-bred. One of the religions of the world. A hybrid can never cross himself again. When a mule is ever born, the mule cannot be nothing else but a mule.
Yeah.
That's all he is.
Right.
He's born. He's a mule. He's a half-breed. He's between a horse and a mule. He don't know who his papa is, who his mom is, where he comes from, or where he's going. He's just ignorant as he can be. He has got no gentleness to him. You can talk to him and just stick his ears out and nicker. With his big ears out. Sometimes I get around and preach to a lot of them mules that knows more about God than a hot pot knows about a gypsy knife. Stick your ears out and say, the dating comparable to fast. There's no such thing as a hybrid.
Yeah.
He might belong to a Pentecostal organization. That might belong to any other organization. But a born again man, woman, thing I love is a hybrid horse. Or not a hybrid horse, a real gentle pedigree horse. What I like is a pedigree Pentecostal experience. One who knows where they come from, knows what's got a hold of them, and knows where they're going. With a spirit of gentleness, sweetness, and Holy Spirit. Some of tolerance and fellowship reach across the line and shake hands with any brother. Take him in. He's a brother citizen of the same kingdom. No matter how he was baptized or sprinkled or poured or what he did, if he stood on his head or jumped up and down or whatever he got, he's a brother anyhow. As long as he got the Holy Ghost, he's your brother. And a real pedigree, born again, Pentecostal man and woman, believe that with all your heart. Stretches out their sound. Certainly. No, these twin revivals, one brings forth a man that wants to be intellectual, wants them in school. They're trying to dodge that issue of new birth. The church is trying to dodge it. Today we take the people in for water baptism, put them in the church for water baptism. You might put them in the church for water baptism, but you'll never put them in the Christ for water baptism. You've got to be born in there by the Spirit.
Amen.
That's right. I've often said, I'll say again, I don't care what kind of a birth it is, any birth is a mess. If it's in a pig pen, or if it's in a clam shop, or if it's in a big decorated hospital room, it's a mess. And so is the new birth a mess. It'll make you do things that you never thought you would do. It'll make you weep, bawl, cry, and raise up your hands and turn all kinds of shines and everything else. And you'll act just straight to the poor, starchy, self-styled group. But you don't care as long as you get birth out of it. You gotta be born. I'm talking about the church today. Being born again, coming into new birth. Coming to a place where we're trying to dodge the issue, but taking in members. trying to beat this other fellow. Our organization's growing higher than the other. If this don't amount to nothing, not a thing. It's the kingdom of God at what counts.
Yes.
We're all working for one place. Our brothers in the Baptist Church and the assemblies are the oneness and the threeness and the fiveness or whatever it was. We want to be working for one principle. That's for our Heavenly Father. To get born again children into that kingdom up there. Outside of that, we're working in vain. We're trying to do something for a man-made institution that'll fall as sure as two choose it for. God will fall, it's a man.
Yes.
That's the ball. Only God's things stand. Have nothing against them. That's fine and dandy. But when we draw those barriers that we cannot fellowship with the other fellow, that's when it gets bad. I've been given out and told that I dislike organizations. I like the people in the organization, but not as organizations is fine as long as you don't draw a spot and say, we believe this and you rest of you stay away from it and we'll not cooperate with that businessman's group or anything as long as they do like the way it's there. They'll be an organization. When they get to be an organization, I'm getting away from them. That's exactly right. I don't believe in this stuff. I believe that we're brothers and have fellowship and carry and leading of the Spirit.
Yes.
That's exactly what I like about it. A mixed colleges. They had a law. They went to Mount Sinai and got a law. So they could all have doctor's degrees, PhD and LLD, USDs, and all kinds of things. And so the first thing you know, it got them in trouble. Now, the law served its purpose. It was all right in its day. The law did all right in its day. It served its purpose. So has the denomination done all right. It's all right in its purpose, but remember, the law measures up then to the promised land. Joshua took them over, grace, not the law. And neither will the denomination, any denomination ever take the church of God over. It'll be the grace of God that shed abroad in our hearts by the baptism of the Holy Ghost that will take us to the promised land, into the fullness of God's blessing. Certainly it is. They make a fatal mistake when they do those things. It served its purpose very well. But the time come when it wasn't no good no more. God let it die out so he could take grace and take them across and physically place them into the places of the promised land. So will the grace of God, whatever it is, or prophets, teachers, so forth. Now the denomination can't do that. They'll have a bunch of presbyters to lay hands on it, won't be no more than throwing water on them. It's got to take the Holy Ghost separate me, Paul and Barnabas. It takes the Holy Ghost, you have to separate a man and woman in places where they're physically brought in Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's true. Now, we find out, they journeyed from there then to Cadesh Barnea. Cadesh Barnea, they made their most fatal mistake they ever did make. Israel made a real mistake once you come to Cadesh Barnea. Well, they had, then they had their 12 different heads, 12 different groups of them. And they sent them up to the promised land to spy out to see what they could get, any information from the inside. When they come back, we find out that 10 of the groups that it's impossible to take it. We just can't do it. It's too much of a job. We're a little bitty fellows up the side of the land. We look like grasshoppers. There was two that had evidence. They'd been somewhere. When they come back, they had the fruits of the land. They come back to know that they had been over and brought back the evidence that it was a good land. Well, that's about the way we get it out of a revival, about two in a sentence. It's just about like setting in the cake. About two out of a good sentence. And the first thing you know, Joshua and Caleb come back with the evidence that it was a good land. They had evidence. But that wasn't all the evidence. They just had one evidence. That's what the Pentecostals got. When they crossed over the land into the wilderness, over the Red Sea, and found their enemies dead, they began speaking in tongues as an evidence that they'd been over there. They know there was something good. They know there was a land somewhere that was beyond anything we reached yet. That's right, but that's not all the things. We settled out on that, went to see on that.
Right.
God said, if there's anyone among you to come in and speak with tongues, the unknown come in, they'll say, well, they're all mad. But if one will prophesy and reveal the secrets of the heart, then they'll fall down and say, surely God is with you. Paul said that. Why will we stop on one evidence of speaking in tongues, being the Holy Ghost, which is all right, that's true. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But just look at the other things going in there.
Amen.
But as soon as we did it, we had to denominate ourselves to keep the others out, build up a fence around our coconut tree that nobody else would eat off of this but us. That's the reason the rest of them couldn't get anywhere. It's our own selfish ideas instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead us all out. And we've waited for 4 years and nothing's happened.
Yes, amen.
Just still staying in the same place, same old thing. Oh my, we find out that they made a fatal mistake. And they're raising up a big bunch of fires. That's what we had, a big bunch of fires. One said, "Let God on the assemblies. You all want this, don't you? I don't do it. You want Church of God? We got it. Church of God, let God, we're the ones that got it. We got the prophets I've made. The one that says we got it because we baptized by it. Hallelujah. A bunch of fighters, God says, you set out here till you die." Exactly right. The Bible says they stay there until all the old fighters died out.
Until we sat here and raised children and bought flat rats and prospered in business and everything else, on what they end of the 40 years is up, brother.
Then a new generation is raised up. There was a Joshua he raised up one day. He absolutely believed God's word every bit of the promise. Not only to take care of you and bless your business and so forth, but to none of it now. God's done the same thing today. And I believe that this full gospel business man's organization is part of God's program. I'm not Pentecost to stand here before him. If I did, I'd be a hypocrite. But I mean it because they are not drawn down a stake and say, this organization or that organization, they stretch the line far enough that they can take it all. That's the reason I'm proud of them today, because they're in the very spot then that I believe is right.
Yes,
it was stretched in the assemblies of God, to the church of God, to the four square, to the PHAD, PHW, United, everybody, whosoever will let him come, that he might drink of the water, the waters of God's grace. No matter if you're alive for 1 month, 10 months, 2 months, 3 months, or how many months you've got, even all the time, come on, don't make any difference. That's why you're rising through for all of the church at this house. That's where they come together. That's the reason I follow the businessmen around. Because in that, I can speak to all of them and get my message over to them. To let them know that this is the thing I believe in. I believe this businessman can't do all of it. They got to be a part of it. They can be an example of what God can do when men can come together and break their denominational barriers. I believe that these men here you see now, these younger fellows, that are in this church, it's the fruit of sons of the old fighters. But these fellows are not fighters. The new group wasn't fighters. You had all the old fighters die off. When the old fighters died off, he took their sons and raised up among them Joshua and sent him over to the full promise. I believe that that's what we're seeing today. I believe that's what this Christian businessman organization is doing. God has used it mightily, and you'll continue to do it as long as you keep that denominational barrier broke down. They don't tell you what church is wrong to, wrong to anything you want to, but they're trying to get you. Get away from the old spider disposition. Back to where these rooms put around front any brother. These Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, whether it's Street or whatever he is, but behind front he's a brother. Right by who loves you. Amen. Always we keep that attitude. God's going to reach one of these days. I'll be ready to speak now. You've been on this mountain of organization 40 years. Let's move upward. Let's move out of here.
Yes.
Amen. Ministers, my ministering brother out there, don't you think we've been on this mountain long enough? Don't you think we've busted and passed and carried on and stood over our organization boundaries long enough? Let's get off of this mountain and move up to the promised land. Start going up. It's the sense of land. God told him, touch the sense of land. All your fighters is gone now.
Yeah.
Put your sword back in its sheath. Don't fight. Listen, man. Don't you make the same mistake your fathers did or you did your 40 years, too. Deal with the Christian men's organization and so forth, or Christian men's unit. If you ever organize it, you'll stick right here another 40 years. But it's time that God is calling his church to move up. I believe that. I noticed, he said, now as you go by Mount Seir, now there is your denominational brother Esau sitting up there. A good Presbyterian, Methodist, or Baptist. Now, don't bother him, don't fuss at him. Just try and find out how you do that. Walk that on. But you've been wanting to get him and shake him and tell him you haven't got nothing. Right. Remember, he's got just what God gave him. He can have the same revival you did. Right. He stopped. He told Joshua, see that you got go over on Mount Seir now, because I give that to Esau. That's all he's supposed to know. That's all he knows about.
That's
the only thing he knows is his denomination. Well, we are so-and-so. We are. That's all he knows. That's all God did him. Just pass on by now. Don't go to fuss and fight with him. Just pass by quietly. But look in here, Jacob, you Pentecostal Jacob, you really born to hear the gospel. Led by the Holy Ghost. Don't go to fussing with it, but the Pentecostal Jacob has the full promise down in the land. The thing is ready to happen. God said you broke the whole thing and put it in the promised land. Put the fullness of the Spirit ever operation. I stood the other morning at meeting, feeling myself as my ministry is a spiritual ministry, as I'm not much of a preacher. But notice, in those lines when he talked about Charles Price, when him dying, our brother Sakarin, prophesying that these things come to pass. Oh, my spirit rose up within me. He says, that's it, that's it, that's it. If they could only see him.
Yes.
That's it. We're ready to go up and take the land. And doctors, our hospitals, and so forth, we're ready to do it.
Yes.
When you stand with your fire and put together, all you ministers and you brethren, your duty, break down your denominational barriers. We can get a Pentecostal revival.
Because I've
in a meeting like this, it gives God a chance to work through man. The power of God works in us through man. Now, this was in 1933. I was still a missionary Baptist minister. And I'm 51 years old now. I've seen thousands of those things, many of you years in the meeting. I just claim on the hands of whatever faith. Thank you.
And the time will have to come soon, brother, because we will be forced.